I can't hear you.
I can't hear you because our headphones are amazing. If you're looking for headphones, get these because you can hear Jack squat.
I was just letting you know your mics are hot.
Well, I figured you were saying that, you know, but just wanted to let you know that our headphones are awesome. So I can't hear you when you're telling me things, but it's just more fun to say it on the air. That's all. You guys.
Yes. Yes, guys.
Which topic do you want to... We have two surprise topics, guys. Two. And they're bangers.
Well, I'm going to choose Meemaw.
Okay, I choose Meemaw too.
Isn't that what
we said?
JP.
Did we say Meemaw?
The high stepper Meemaw.
The high stepper.
The high stepper situation.
That was good.
It's coffee.
Yeah.
I think the high stepper is a little confused as to who she is today. Yellowhammer News, Grayson Everett has an article out, and it will just drive you bonkers. Okay, Abs, you've got that pulled up. Let me just read. This has to do with the public broadcasting system and funding from the federal government, the Alabama Public Television, and how conservatives are calling for it to be unfunded, defunded, unalived, because they clearly have a left-wing agenda.
They have an agenda.
And when you read, Abs is going to read what is on this PBS APT. But before she does, let me read to you what Kay Ivey has been saying. I am writing about the prospect of APT disaffiliating with PBS. Okay, I probably shouldn't do it in the voice. Disaffiliating with PBS, Governor Ivey writes in the letter. As governor, I've worked hard to promote and defend Alabama values, from standing up for the sanctity of human life and our rights to religious liberty, to standing against DEI, CRT, and boys playing girls sports. For the sake of our people, though, it is imperative that APT's programming line with Alabama values. At the same time, I have also strived to ensure that this is where I have to giggle. I have also strived to ensure that state government operates in an orderly fashion with due regard for deliberation and collaboration among stakeholders. I'm calling BS.
I'm sorry. Am I allowed to? Do I need to raise my hand?
Does anybody remember COVID? Yes, you may go, Abs. Because since when, besides when she decides, does she have strive to ensure that state government operates in an orderly fashion with due regard for deliberation and collaboration among stakeholders? Never. She closes what she wants. She opens what she wants. She fires Kent Davis when she wants. She does all these things when she wants. And if she doesn't want to fire Scott Harris, she doesn't. And now all of a sudden she's saying she's the beacon of deliberation and debate in Alabama?
Allison Sinclair. So often we send JP the same clips. Also, I'm sorry that my arm was hitting the table. But that was going to be my exact question. What do you actually mean when you say orderly fashion and stakeholders? Because ding, 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 when I hear the word collaboration and stakeholders, I think, those words sound Marxist.
Like the World Economic Forum?
Just a little fishy. And so I don't know what that means, because we're praising it on the one hand and then we're making space for the other group on the other hand. And I too, because we started working together during the COVID, know that that's somebody just wrote that up. Orderly fashion, stakeholders. I mean, those are literally Marxist terms. When are we going to learn? This is not the government's job.
Well, if you want to deliberate and listen to your constituents and have a discussion about things, I'm all for that. But you don't get to pick and choose what you want to deliberate and hear from your constituents about and what you don't. Obviously, this is just, in my opinion, a stall tactic to continue to allow the Alabama Public Television and PBS run the crap that you're about to read off of that list.
Everyone, gird your loins. Number one. And look, for those of you that are about to get upset, you have your own family, you can do what you want. But this is our money funding crap that we don't want. Number one, Sesame Street, Pride Month, post and calls to defund PBS 2025.
The official Sesame Street accounts posted Pride Month graphics and messages, "Everyone is welcome," rainbow-style imagery tied to LGBTQ inclusion. Do y'all remember when you watched Sesame Street? How old were you?
I was a big Sesame Street kid.
I was too. Aww. How old were you?
I had Ernie and
five.
Who's the other guy? Ernie and
Bert.
Bert. I had toys of
Bert and Ernie here.
Bert and Ernie, yeah.
You kind of look like, which one's bald?
Bert. Yeah, I think. I don't know.
Your new name is Bert.
I was an Ernie kid. Come on.
Okay.
I liked Ernie and I liked Grover and Big Bird. Okay.
But we just counted and ate cookies.
And yeah. That was it. In hope that maybe Grover would come out of the trash can that day.
The most scandalous was, yeah, that Grover was kind of mean.
It's
and angry.
Okay.
Now we've got Pride Month because five-year-olds need to know about gender equality.
Apparently.
Of course.
And that everybody can have two mommies.
So this matters because it's a current high profile directly tied to Sesame Street and PBS branding pride politics in a way that triggered a sustained defund push. So it's just grooming. Conservatives flipped, according to what we have, because it's grooming. We know what it is, and we're not idiots to suggest it, and you don't have to name call. Why else would you put this in front of a five-year-old? Somebody, like I'm five, make that make sense. Number two, I'll just do three of them. Sesame Street Family Day episode with two gay dads. I'm going to just let that, I'm going to let that there. And then we watched the heck out of some Arthur in my house. Did y'all watch Arthur when the kids
were
little?
We were not Arthur
people. Okay, we watched Arthur.
He's kind of dorky.
Well, maybe. He probably is dorky, but I was on Eastern time back then.
It's probably all you had over there.
It's all we had. All right, nobody blame me, but we did our best. Arthur's Mr. Ratburn, which could you have chosen a better last name, Mr. Ratburn gay wedding episode from 2019. I'm sorry. These are five-year-old children. What are you doing other than preparing them to make amends or make friends with this lifestyle? Please. I beg you. I lied. I'm going to give you a few more. Postcards from Buster, lesbian moms episode. Clifford the Big Red Dog reboot with two moms. Also, we watched the heck out of Clifford the Big Red Dog. And finally, WNET's Let's Learn Drag Queen Story Time for 3 to 8-year-olds. Because that's normal, said Allison as she's lowering her chair. Guys.
I got to get closer to the mic for this one.
Help me. Help me understand why we should fund that.
If that's what you want to teach your kids in your own home, I don't care. I do. But I can't stop you. But I don't want to pay for that. I don't want to pay for what was in the Shelby County Library that we had to go see, which was board books for four-year-olds about how to change your gender and wear dresses well when you're a boy. It's just not what... Historically, we protect our children. Historically, we protect the family's right to teach their children what they want as parents. We give parents the right, and that has just been stripped away over the years. And imagine, though, but think about this. Think about if public television was funding Jesus is the only way. God should be in every, which I actually believe all these things, but you know, God made marriage just a man and a woman, which is true. Or, you know, whatever it is, if it were more rooted in biblical truth, if your North Shelby Library had a whole section about traditional marriage and how that is the only way and blah, 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 imagine the uproar. How quickly would that have been defunded? And now we're debating our Republican governor who, I mean, used to be a Democrat, probably still is, is contemplating whether this is good programming and we should continue to pay for it. I don't buy it. I don't buy it at all. And I think it's just really stupid.
Well, we just go back to the same theme, I think, always, of we're supposed to be a Republican supermajority, but yet our Republican, allegedly Republican governor came and get it. Like, this is a layup. This is something that, like, the Republican congressman in D.C. all got right because it's so easy. Yeah, obviously you stop funding the transgender ideology with taxpayer money. Like, that's just so easy. But the question is, why? Like, who's the special interest or whoever that is convincing Kay Ivey to, whoa, you know, hold the brakes here. But it's just, this is not how a Republican supermajority acts when the governor, who's supposed to be leading the charge, messes up and blunders something this easy. Doesn't make sense.
And then I'm sitting here thinking while y'all are talking about Abigail Schreier's book from 2020. She's got two really good books. One is Transgenderism, and Especially with Our Girls. And the other one is about Bad Therapy. Phenomenal books. I think they're right back there. And you think about how activists flip out when we decide we're going to take this on because no one else will. And they lose their mind because they can't have drag queen story hour, or they can't put the books on the shelves, or they won't even graciously just move them out of certain sections in Prattville's library, for example. They put up a fight every time, which is so interesting because if you take the stats and correlate them with Abigail Schreier's book, that in 2012, there was like 0.2%. It was a minuscule amount, barely anything written about transgenderism or any of the things that we're dealing with right now, barely anything. And then you have this major push to get this in front of kids. And how? What's the percentage of kids, according to the New York Times, that identify as trans or bi, or they've changed their gender, their thinking? What do we have, 175 genders now, which is ridiculous? So it coincides with this push to do what is wrong and put this in front of our children. So there is going to be a fight about this where there should be no fight. There's always an agenda and we're always behind, right? And it's firing me up just sitting here listening to it because it should be a layup. This is a no-brainer, just like it should have been a no-brainer for our Senate to pass the obscenity bill. We will not forget that, and we are waiting for that to come up again so we can constantly talk about it. So y'all actually will pass it and get it out of committee. Oh no, we're so sorry, it didn't pass. But it's interesting that the push to get this in front of our kids coincides with the LGBTQ agenda, pushing something we wouldn't have even conceived of 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And yet here we are. A governor debating on whether or not this is right or wrong to defund and separate from. Like, I'm five again? Make that make sense.
Yeah, and her whole, I support deliberation in the state. That's so fake. It's so fake. No, she doesn't. She just wants a way out.
The shareholders.
No. Stakeholders.
Oh, stakeholders.
Which is very World Economic Forum talk. Mm-hmm. I just can't handle it. But look. Tear it all down. Burn it all down. I don't even care. I mean, if this is what we're putting in front of, the best we have to put in front of our kids, just get it done. But again, like you said, JP, we're a Republican supermajority, but it took us like 3 years to pass the bill defining what a woman was. So you're not convincing me that we are what we say we are. We just aren't. Okay. On that note, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Right Side. I'm Amy Beth with Allison and JP. And we're going to read your text. Who wants to go first? Allison, you go first.
You want me to go first?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, Mike from Florence, always witty, said, Republicans need their own drag queen story hour. Harriet, the champion of Formula One drag racing. Oh.
Funny.
I might pay for that.
That's funny.
PBS. Let's see.
Ooh. Oh, Brad.
Brad from Crimestone County. Just finished reading Neil Postman's Amusing Ourselves to Death. Mm-hmm. Even when Sesame Street was good, it wasn't. I wish you could expand on that, but you can't talk to me through that. Well, you could text me and tell me what you mean by that. Is he saying they've been after us the whole time?
Yes, that's what he's saying. I need to put that book back in my thrift books basket. Honey, I'm adding another book to the basket.
At least you're reusing, thrifting it.
That's it. You know, the PBS has always had an agenda because it's a government's agenda. It's a liberal agenda. I mean, think about the shows we watched, even though we loved watching Sesame Street.
What else? I mean, was the Berenstain Bears, was that PBS? Because they were pretty, or I thought, unless...
The who?
Oh, my word. The Berenstain Bears, you know, the bear family that lived
and
in the
tree. Clifford? Was he really a furry?
No, Clifford was not a furry.
Clifford used to be awesome.
Clifford was awesome, yeah.
But have we just been under the spell of the government forever?
Probably. That's upsetting.
We do have a retraction correction. And we should know better, Abs.
Oh, bless. Okay, I'm sorry. Already, I'm sorry.
Badger from Athens corrected us.
Okay.
Duh. Grover was nice and a superhero. Oscar the Grouch was the one in the trash can.
Oh, my
can.
Word. What's my problem?
Yeah,
and you know what? I take away human points. Okay?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
The Grouch should have tipped me off as to that he was angry and mean.
Oscar.
Yeah. But, no, Grover was nice.
Grover.
Oh, that was pretty good.
That was good.
I liked Grover.
Let's see. Here we go. Nathaniel from Huntsville. This is kind of a deep thought. We're going back to the start of the show. I think we need to be honest about Trump. He is a temporarily useful leader. Never in his life has he conserved a thing. He has no grasp on the doctrine of salvation and has never espoused a return to tradition ideology. He ran because Obama embarrassed him and he became Obama's worst nightmare. Trump has a wall full of praise from libs and progs? What's that?
Progressives.
Oh, yeah. And his heel turn is useful only in so far as his utility. That is, he's great at pushing an agenda and he's only on our side because it's convenient and we hold him accountable.
That's some deep thoughts from Nathaniel.
I have to agree. I mean, Trump is a populist. Trump has always been for what's best for Trump. What is best in his, and best is whatever gets him the most popularity and the most votes. It just so happens that our paths are merging and have for a few years. But I think we're fooling ourselves if we think that Donald Trump was always going to be one of us. He actually never claimed to be one of us. Maybe for a minute. But if you're paying attention, Donald Trump is today who Donald Trump has always been.
That's a great point.
So we shouldn't be shocked with where we are. Now, in the same vein, we use him for to accomplish our means. There's no way we were voting for Kamala. What was Jamala? Pamela?
Mamala.
Mamala, Kamala.
They call me Mamala. That's on Saturday Night Live.
That wasn't an option.
No.
So we work with what we have, but Nathaniel's right. I mean, Trump is just Trump.
Well said, Nathaniel. Also, Allison.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Just had one moment. So when we come back, I think we're going to have a guest. Is that right? JP, you got it worked out?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes. All right.
Stick around. We'll be back on the other side.